We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Light Years, the after show, Pelicans, 2 days, 2 nights in a row. Andy, I'm not surprised that they split the series, but God, they had a shot to win that one.
About a minute left in the game, I thought to myself, going into this last stretch of the season, you tell me the team's at 500. When the season started, I would tell you it's kind of disappointing, but maybe not that surprising. It's kind of how the whole season has gone, right? Like this game. Not surprised if you said that the team is going to go 1-for-1, but God, the process is infuriating. Like,
I don't even know that this one's a process loss. For me, this one's a depth loss.
The process of the loss, it's just, it hurts.
That I agree with. To me, Warriors have 10 healthy bodies. I mean, like real NBA players, not Smiley Ichiman yet, they had going on. Right. They probably have a good shot to win this because, to me, Steph ran out of gas at the end.
Yeah.
Draymond looked tired. I mean, the kind of thing you expect when you only have 7 or 8 guys, no centers, no bigs, and you're playing every night, basically playing 4 to 5 nights a week. They looked gassed. They look better than the Pelicans. They really should have won both games. But this is, I mean, if you're looking to assign blame, this one's on the front office. This one, why are there so few bodies on this team? Because this is a game you gave away purely because you don't have a ninth man who you can play.
Smiley and Nico Mannion are in the back of the bench. They're technically bodies, fam. But there's no reason for them to be on the roster, right? Gary Payton, too, is – I'm unsure if he's an NBA player. He's probably not. But he would have played tonight, or he would have played last night. He would have played some nights, maybe. Yeah, DPE. Throw the name in with the DPE. Whoever that guy would have been, would have played, right?
Just having another big man, like we – Looney played 32 minutes. Looney's been playing 30 minutes a game.
Way too many.
I didn't know it was physically possible. I feel like we're going to end up paying for that tax next season when he's, back in like full body wrap, like normal.
I'm not a fan of that. Yeah.
Yeah. We love Looney around here. Like he's a good player. He does productive things to help you win, but like he's had a lot of hip surgeries. I just don't know that he's a body that, you can count on to play 30 plus minutes a night. Draymond. Ultimate competitor, but he's at that stage in his career where like you really shouldn't be asking him to play in the high 30s every night, and that's what the loss was here tonight. Like we can talk about how Steph got cold at the end. We can talk about how Wiggins was the only other player outside of Steph to score in the double figures. But end of the day, they don't have enough bodies. They don't have enough bodies to play this many games in a row.
Front office, and then you go down the road, right? Kerr played Steph. He put him in with about 9 minutes left. Took him out with about a minute left in the third. So there's a little bit of a classic chasing wins there. But then that tells me, you know, if you had chased some wins early in the season and won three more games, we wouldn't be here, right? Like, we wouldn't be in a position where on a second half of a back-to-back, you got to play Steph and Draymond 35, 36, 37-plus minutes, right? Like, that
37 was the official number, mm-hmm. at least until the scorers revise it. Right. But, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just – you know, those things don't need to happen. Maybe if you're 6 games over 500 tonight, maybe you could even rest those guys. Right? Like, those aren't – I don't think these are things that we're saying that are revising history. Sam and I said this. Fans, everybody in here, people that are listening, said this during the beginning of the season, right? During when the Warriors were losing these games that we felt like they should win because frankly, they were treating it like they were a 73-win team, right? Like, they were like, oh, we can afford some losses. We can just figure some stuff out. Now we're nearing the end of the season, and the Warriors need to win some of these games, and they're going all out for them, and they're not good enough even when they try to do that. They're still losing, like we see tonight, like we see against Boston, like we see against some of these other teams.
Yeah, so that's why, like, I feel like the discussion is not, like, there's not one specific coaching mistake Steve Kerr made. There's not one specific, like, yes, would it be nice if Steve maybe played Steph a little more or you know, like on the player front, if Kent Bazemore didn't make some of the decisions he made, sure. But end of the day, this is a result of the process in the off season and the process during the season where they're just short on bodies. They're short on NBA players. And I think all of management has to reflect on that. Like, it's not one specific person. Everyone's always looking for, like, one scapegoat. Like, Bob Myers got to go. Joe Acob's at fault. Steve Kerr's at fault. Like, the reality is they always market themselves as, like, one brain trust. Well, the brain trust has to discuss the fact that this is one of the worst rosters I've ever seen around an MVP caliber player ever. And, you know, there's some bad luck in that. Klay going down is objectively bad luck, but there's also things they could have done to give this team a little more of a chance. You know, shout out our friend James Harden, just want a fair chance. What do you say? But like,
I forgot
that,
about that.
That's what this loss was. They just didn't have the bodies.
I also feel like we are not going back on what we said yesterday, right? We're not saying that this team still can't be dangerous as a playoff team despite what happened tonight. All things are still true, in my opinion. This team, when Steph and Draymond are functioning at a high level, and they're playing good basketball, is as good as any, you know, most teams, right, in the NBA. But, you know, on a back-to-back where those guys have to play in the high 30s and then the rest of the team doesn't really show up, that's tough. Like, that becomes tough. And that's true regardless of whether they win or lose tonight or last night. So, like I was saying yesterday, though, like, we expected this. Man, we didn't think this team was going to go 2-0, but just the way they go about it was tough. Because
it's just frustrating because entering the fourth quarter, like, they're better than the Pelicans. They can go 2-for-2, and what happens? They just ran out of gas. They didn't have another player to throw in there. They didn't have anyone else to do. It's kind of the way the season's gone. With that said, I have a more uplifting take that I want to discuss before we get to listener callers here. I feel like this last month has made me a little more optimistic about the Warriors can do in the playoffs. Not expecting them to challenge for a title or anything, but I think the short bench, the lack of depth matters less in the playoffs, particularly when they're catching a higher seed. I think they're gonna be obnoxious and terrible for Utah or Phoenix.
I cannot disagree. I think Steve is essentially playing playoff type of lineups at this point anyway. Part of it's like he's forced to, but you like Steph and Draymond tonight. I actually don't even know if Draymond ran out of gas. I thought Draymond was terrific down the stretch. Like, he was awesome. He had Zion kind of kind of one-on-one. That steal that he had on Zion was just classic playoff Draymond defense. That was incredible. I'm with you. I do feel like those two guys playing at this level, and there are no back-to-backs in the playoffs, as we all know, becomes a much more dangerous team. Depending on who they get back, does Kelly Oubre come back? Kelly Oubre would be fun in the playoffs. I don't know if it's fun, good, or fun.
Playoff Oubre. Playoff Oubre with the ESPN cameras just pulling out fits we haven't even seen this year.
Did you see tonight?
I was a fan. I would 100% wear that if I was an NBA player. You don't even want to.
I can't disagree. I cannot disagree.
We both already have way too much self-confidence for guys who are not that successful. I don't even want to know what happens if we have like professional athlete contracts. It's not good.
I am wearing a bright pink tank top right now. So yes, you are correct.
Just being real though. Yeah. Should we open this to questions? I think we're going to make this shorter tonight. Let's get people on here.
Yeah. Let's let the people have some fun.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
Can you hear me?
Jake, you there? Yeah, we can hear you. Appreciate that.
Can you guys hear me?
What's up, man? You're good. What's going on?
Reevaluate Wiggins at all? I feel like he's played better the past couple of games. And it seems like even Steph and Draymond and the coaching staff are kind of pushing him a little bit, which I kind of felt like they just accepted what he was. So should we reevaluate a little bit and maybe see some optimism for next year? Or is it still just he is what he is and we should probably try and look for something else?
Interesting. Tonight of all nights.
Jake, appreciate the question. So I'll go first, Andy. I think Wiggins has been playing exceptional for what he is. I think he's turning into a relatively efficient scorer, you know, not elite, but like above average, but more than anything, a really good defender. The problem is he's not a shot creator, and that's really what they need. And they just don't have a lot of avenues to find that. So for me, it's not about like you need to trade Wiggins. It's more you need to add someone on the wing who can create their own shot. And I just don't see how they can get it without trading one of Wiggins or Clay. And I mean, no disrespect to Wiggins, but I think we know where this fan base lies. If it's one or the other, it has to be traded for said player who can create their own. Yeah. That's all points I can't disagree with. I do think Wiggins, a lot of value, though, in the way that he plays basketball right now. This one is a weird game because I thought Wiggins was fantastic tonight. So this, and he's obviously exhausted and banged up. So I think he's had he's had a pretty good season. Like, I don't think you can ask for much more in him. But, like, in some ways, it's like the Harrison Barnes thing where it's like, we didn't have an issue when Harrison Barnes was on the Warriors. We had an issue with the idea he wanted a max contract. So I don't have an issue with Andrew Wiggins. I have an issue with the fact that because he's a max player, it limits the Warriors' avenue to add players they want to add, which leads to like the tough decision thing you have to do. Like, I'd like to keep Wiggins, but I know what this team wants to add. So, and I just don't see how they can get there with him on the roster.
Yeah. And it's like, if you can make the trade, Tony Bradley Beal's on there.
Some of these other guys, even Pascal Siakam, right? Like those trades are, you make those trades. So it's just a matter of if you think this, these, you can win with this guy and some supplementary pieces moving forward, which I don't know. We'll see.
Josh, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks so much.
Sam, you have the James Harden picture. Should I be worried about this call?
No, man. I mean, I'm in the club, but you can hear me fine. Sam, you made the point earlier that, you know, this is really an FO loss. I think it would be interesting to go through and catalog some of the games from this year. Like, how many tricked off games did we have because we just had like one or two few bodies? And obviously it's frustrating this year, but like, I don't think anyone thinks we're like one less Nico Mannion and one more Glenn Robinson the third away from like, you know, greatness. But I think this is going to be something really important to beat the drum on heading into next year, because for normal mortal NBA teams, you know, like anyone who started watching the Warriors in 2017 might not realize like the margins really matter. Like having Leandro Barbosa and not Nico Mannion on your team in 2014, 2015, like actually matters when you're trying to win a championship. And, you know, it's going to be, I think some people obviously want to say Clay's going to come back and it's all going to be great. But when you start running down the line, okay, maybe Clay makes us a 3 or 4 seed. Maybe we can make a trade and then we're in contention. The margins are going to, I think, tell the story next year. So I'm hoping that this community and you guys keep beating that drum, because it would be the worst way to lose next year would be to get all the way there and make all the moves that we need to and lose because Alan Smiley is just sitting on the end of the bench and we don't want to hurt the FO's feelings.
Josh, appreciate it. That's a perfect call. Andy, I want to ask you this. What do you think the Warriors' record is if they have a couple more players, let's just say of like Kent Bazemore and Looney's caliber? Let's say like Marquise Chris never goes down. Let's say Mannion is replaced with, I don't know, just like another NBA caliber player like Bazemore. Like, let's say like Thomas Satoransky. Like, I'm not talking anything fancy, like nothing that's going to like raise the ceiling, just like guys who, you know, can play.
You know, interestingly enough, like I thought that was Brett Wanamaker. Like, we thought that was a guy that was an NBA, like we Touché. Thought that was an average NBA player.
Right. We thought Brad was going to be Mr. like reliable 15 to 20 minutes.
I thought, you know, you thought, you know, we all thought. I don't know who you blame on that. He just might be terrible. But three wins, right?
I think that's a difference between them and Portland. Portland, Dallas is, which is really about three wins. That's, you're right. Like having one to two extra rotation bodies probably is the reason they're not in the sixth seed. It's that simple.
Yeah, and then you throw – he makes a great point, too. You throw – this team has the ability to fix the margins next season. Like, I don't think Jordan Poole is ever supposed to be a superstar by next season. So regardless of how you feel they develop the guy, like, he's – you know, he'll be solid, I think, enough by next season. But with fixing the margins, it's really the vet guys, what you do in the trade market, what you can do with the DP – like, not DPE, but TPE. Moving forward, and we'll see. They can fix that though next season. I don't think it, like, it's not like all hope is lost. They can fix that. They should.
I agree with you. The margins should be the easiest thing to fix. Like, the bigger question is if they can swing a talent, like a high end talent trade. But with that said, we're gonna keep it moving. Antonio, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's up? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You sound great.
Oh, thanks. So this is a little nitpicky thing, and I feel like, yeah, we lost this game because we don't have enough guys to play. But like, I couldn't help but notice that Mulder's getting 28 minutes and Poole's getting 13. I know he shot like bad in the first half. He was, you know, shooting some shots that, you know, just get the ball to Steph, dude. But in the second half, he had a good cut and he just shot 1-3. And then Kerr was basically like, oh yeah, it's over with you. We're taking you out and we're going to put Mulder in, who never makes a shot when it matters. And like you guys are saying, this is like, but you think like a playoff rotation, what they're doing with the playoffs, you know, just even how he switched Curry's minutes there for a sec. And I'm wondering, in the playoffs, you think he's not, or in the play-in, they're not going to put Poole in? Because I feel like this is some important time for him. And I just want to, like, see what happens. And, like, I saw your tweet, Sam, and I agree. It's like, they have Eric Bledsoe and Najee Marshall, so you're not really losing anything defensively. And I think maybe he could at least drive. Like, Mulder's just going to sit there and miss his threes. Like, if Kerr just tells him to drive more or something like that. I don't know. I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Antonio, great call. Yeah, it's so Michael Mulder is just more of a traditional shooter. Like, he's really good at moving off ball. I understand why he plays. Like, in theory, that would be Damian Lee. Like, he would be playing Damian Lee over Michael Mulder. But I do agree with you, in the bigger picture, it wouldn't hurt them to play more Jordan Poole next to Steph, particularly against these backcourts that aren't going to punish you. Like, what's Najee Harris and, like, or sorry, that's the right back. What are like Eric Bledsoe and some of these guys the Pelicans had going to do to punish you? And like, yeah, I get it. Like, you don't want to play Steph and Jordan Poole against Kyrie and Harden, but like, there's only like a couple teams. Yeah, it makes a great point. You know, maybe Jordan Poole should have played tonight in terms of development, right? I get the Michael Mulder shoots better, so you kind of don't need Jordan Poole's creativity, although I don't even know if Steve Kerr feels that way about him, if you have Steph on the floor, right? But, if I had to make a choice, like, Jordan Poole is not good on defense, but Michael Mulder is atrocious. Also, Michael Mulder plays petrified. I don't think he's scared on the basketball court. The thing about Jordan Poole is he never scared. He just kind of does shit, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and he makes mistakes. Michael Mulder looks like he's about to piss his pants. That last play with Zion Williamson, he went for that ball like he was scared of the ball. I don't know what was going on. I feel bad. He's a fringe NBA player. What can you do, right? Yeah, we're going to do a separate podcast this week, 2 hours on our thoughts on Michael Mulder. So, but with that said, we're going to keep moving forward. cool. Oh no, do we have Dave Dufour here?
Maybe he'll want to jump on for a few minutes.
I'm going to bring Dave up right now.
No, I did not request to speak. I was just hanging out listening to you guys while I'm watching the Raptors and Clippers. And you know, I was just getting some jokes off in the chat. And now you guys put me on the spot here. So,
you know, I wasn't about to let you just come into the chat and get away with it.
Well,
so, yes,
you
have
answer
to
my question.
Because yes, we will.
I just can't figure this out, okay? The Warriors are a team that should be trying to win right now, right? At all costs. This is why the Wiseman thing, you know, like, we're rehashing an old argument. But why in the hell didn't they sign Dion Waiters or someone like that? Like, they don't have any adults that can go get a bucket. They have one. And that's been the biggest problem for them all year. It's like, you know, there are so many dudes that can't get a job that we know can just dribble a basketball and get a shot up. And somehow the Warriors managed to not sign one of them.
You think that David, that's not what this season's about.
Dave.
That's not what this season's about. You're actually driving it like literally the frustration.
I'm not chasing wins though. I'm just chasing.
Yeah, exactly. We're just chasing downloads right now. That's all we have going for us.
I mean, what the hell? Yeah, so am I. Yeah.
We're
subscribed to the Athletic NBA show.
That is literally what I think Warrior fans' main ire is. No one thinks this team is going to win a title once Clay goes down and like the state of the roster. We just want to see them maximize what they can do around what is one of the most special players of all time, Steph Curry. And it just feels like not filling out the roster, literally not signing Dwayne Dedman or Austin Rivers. Like, am I asking for the world here when I say pick up Austin Rivers off
no.
waivers?
No.
You know, it's like, literally, those are
Jermichael
those
Green.
Are the,
Jermichael, those are Michael Green. Like, I mean, Jeff Green. Hell, any Green. Javonte Green.
All of the Greens.
You could have gotten anyone. Yeah, like, I mean, good Lord. They just.
Draymond's mom, Green.
I just
yes.
don't
yeah,
get
exactly.
it. But here's my thing, man. Look, you know, they get this pass because of when Clay's injury happened. But with that being said, like LaMelo, when we're watching him right now, this is a completely different team if he's on the team. And Wiseman just didn't have that ability to step in and do anything from day one. And if you don't even want to go for the guy that has this high ceiling, which I think Wiseman is going to wind up being really good. I mean, you watch him do stuff. He's experimental, and that's like experimental bigs trying to do things in transition the way he wants to shoot jumpers. Like, he's going to be pretty good at that. You know, players usually let you know quickly
the next in like the next in the next presidential administration, he's going to be really good. Yeah,
he's going to be great when President Kamala Harris,
right, yes,
is fighting against single payer health care. Then he's going to be great. But LaMelo could actually help him now. But the other argument that I kept making was like, if you're going to shoot for a guy with this super high ceiling, I don't think I even take Wiseman second after LaMelo. I mean, have you guys seen Pokuševski? I think Pokuševski is going to be like a top 25 player in his prime.
Right, well, right? I'll text you Evan Zamir's number. You can talk about Pokuševski with him. What was I going to say? The crux of it is it feels like the fan base is aware of what they have with Steph Curry, and the front office seems to have different priorities. They seem to think, you know, Steph's going to either last forever or it's not as important to compete around him. It's more important to be organizationally sound in a way that like aligns with Jerry Krause and like the late 90s Bulls. And that's kind of the crux of the issue here. This is why I don't like when people are like, well, what do you want the Warriors to do? When Klay went down, they couldn't win a title. It's like, well, no shit, they couldn't win a title. But they could have done a bunch of other stuff to put themselves in a better situation.
That's bullshit, Sam. That's bullshit. Because what are we looking at right now? We're 9 games left in the season? I don't know who's going to win the title. If the Warriors had gotten like 2 good players, they could be in this mix. Because they have Steph Curry, who it's him or Jokic right now is playing the best basketball in the league. I'll probably give it to Jokic just because he's been doing it like the entire season. And Steph,
except for when he plays against Steph, and then Jokic looks very normal. So, yeah. but you are right. Jokic has been better game in game.
You're having a super special Steph Curry season. Like I put this up there with his 15-16 season, and the degree of difficulty is definitely higher because this team just doesn't have the talent that team had. And you could say, damn, if they just had 2 more average NBA starters on this team, they're likely fighting for the 4 or 5 seed right now. I think in hindsight, you've got to be pissed about if you're a fan.
We talked about this before it came on, Dave. We agree. You put 2 to 3 guys on this team, and it's not hard to do. It's really not hard to do to bring in veteran players that are NBA players. We're not asking them to make James Wiseman an NBA center in season 1, right? Like we're not making unrealistic expectations or that type of pressure. It's just put an NBA team around Steph Curry and you're probably a 5 seed, 6 seed, 4 seed even, right? Like that and that's okay. Like what's wrong with that?
Bro, the Knicks are in the playoffs this year.
Just because you don't win the championship doesn't mean, right? Just because you don't win the championship doesn't mean that you can't try to win fucking basketball games.
I agree, man.
And I think what's most annoying is like, isn't there a layer of exceptionalism with the Warriors where they just think that, okay, we lost Klay, we can't win a title, so we have to do nothing, but everyone's going to want to come to us next offseason. Like part of the reason I wanted the Warriors to go for it this season was if Steph makes a serious run in the playoffs, it probably helps your chances of being a place where like next summer's Serge Ibaka or Marc Gasol or whoever that vet chasing a good situation wants to go. And when you watch the Warriors this year, like, can you really say that those guys, whoever they will be this summer, are going to have the Warriors on their short list? They're probably.
No, definitely not. No way. I mean, I think Denver is going to be one of those places because Jokic looks like he's fun as hell to play with. And they actually are trying to win games. I mean, this is professional sports, man. If you're not tanking for a better draft pick or playing nothing but young guys and you know, you hope you win some games, but you're totally fine being bad, kind of like Memphis. Like Memphis is just better than they ought to be, but they're happy if they miss the playoffs because they don't mind getting more picks. You're either doing that or you're trying to win every game. And I there is no in between. This thing where you're not chasing wins does not exist. That's a fantasy land. By the way, locker room's great because I have never said this on a recorded podcast.
Oh, this is getting posted tomorrow. You better be ready for that.
You jerk. But it is true. It is true.
You can text me if you want to cut it out.
No, it's professional. It's professional sports. You're either tanking or you're chasing wins. Like plain and simple, man.
I think of football teams, right? Like football teams, when you play football, you can't tell a team to tank. Like outside of like what the Eagles did at the end of last season was funny, but even like the Niners, it could have tanked. And it's hard to tell a team that's, you're just engineered to try to win and play hard and compete. And when that happens, you know, the Niners, they could have had the eighth pick if they had tried to tank, or seventh pick instead, 12th, and they had to give up 2-1, right, to get up and get their QB. But like the Warriors, a different story. It's, you either just go and just tank, man, and just try to get a higher pick with your own pick, or you try to win.
Nothing comes from half measures. That's true.
Yeah. And even when they tried to develop Wiseman, which I'm okay with, Sam and I are completely okay with trying to develop Wiseman, at least do it the right fucking way. At least put Wiseman in a position to actually succeed. And that didn't happen. So actually, you end up doing nothing, but you just do nothing all season long. And then you pray Steph shows up.
Well, the first game he played with Steph, they ran a pick and roll for him and Steph, and he got an easy dunk. And I was like, oh, hey, man, that's a great way to develop your big. Because Steph Curry, running pick and roll with Steph Curry is the easiest basket that guy has ever had in his life. Yep. You want to build some confidence, give him 4 or 5 of those to start a game. Instead of, all right, man, we want to get you in the mid post and we're going to run split cuts off you and we want you to make a read. You've played 9 games of basketball since 2019.
Jeez. Yeah. And the result was as predictable as it sounded as you explained it. Dave, we appreciate you coming on. We're going to keep people moving here. Yeah. You're always welcome on Light Years. You know that. You're official. You're our, we'll call you the Texas affiliate of Light Years.
Oh, okay. I'm not the third. Andrew Sharp is the unofficial third Splash Brother. I get it. That's all right.
He's DC affiliate.
He's DC affiliate.
I'm not taking a pay cut to be on the squad. So, you know,
Yeah, Kelly Oubre right here. He pay me my quota right now.
And just as pretty.
Appreciate you as always. All right, let's keep it moving. Larry, are you back?
Just really confused as to why Michael Mulder played the whole fourth quarter. And when Zion came in with 5:11 left, there was a 4-point game. Looney had to go out and they brought in our good friend Kent Bazemore. He was pink shoes. And he adds nothing, you know, and maybe Jordan Poole is the right guy. I don't really know who's the right guy, but you know, we went from a 9-point lead to, you know, a tie and then down 3, and Steve Kerr didn't call a timeout. Not once. You know, other coaches call timeouts during runs, especially in the fourth quarter with arguably, you know, not your first team on the floor. So I'm just stunned by this, and I'm at the point where I just want to free Steph Curry and let him go somewhere else. Whoa, I don't think this front office can do it.
We're not ready to go there.
Front office. Look, I'm a 1975 guy. Okay, I came to California in 1974, and I was a Barry guy, and we saw the championship, and we saw all the crap that came in between. But I think that Light Years Ahead is actually just arrogance personified, and they better figure it out because they've got a generational talent, maybe multi-generational talent. And it's like the Giants kind of messed it up with Barry Bonds. They didn't surround him with the right kind of people to win a championship. So the Warriors have like 3, maybe 4 years left after this year. And you know, what upsets me the most is that I think he's the best player of the 2010 to 2020 and now generation, and he's only got 3 rings. You know, one was stolen, in my opinion, in 2016, but, you know, he should end up ahead of LeBron. Let's put it that way. Anyway, I'm all done. I know I love Steph more than most players because he rescued our franchise out of nowhere.
Larry, we appreciate it. A lot of facts being spit there. They need they do need to figure it out. Yeah.
Light Years Ahead is arrogance personified. Sam, do we put that on the title of this baby? I mean, come on.
I think so. All right, let's keep moving.
It's incredible.
Mike Mikus, what is up, my man?
Hello.
Hey, Mike, you there? Oh, you driving, huh? Yeah, we can hear you.
Angry after a post game. To counter what Larry said, I thought it was interesting because he said, I don't know if it was to put Poole in, I don't know if it's to put Bazemore in, but Bazemore, Mulder, and Poole shot 7 of 27, and I think one of those shots was Mulder's final five-second shots, because Mulder can only hit shots when the game is over, and then he can decide to hit shots. That's awesome. The issue is that sitting on our bench is Ginger Peter Dinklage and, like, Sloth from the Goonies, so we don't have any other bodies. Yes, that's how
it is.
No, but it's correct. They have nobody else to put in because this roster is horrifically constructed, and it makes me angry every time I watch the game. This was like the sequel to the second Dallas game from earlier this year, where they blew Dallas out the first game, and then in the second time, they could not win. They lost a close game. This is the exact same situation. My question is, the Warriors get some of the best ratings in the NBA. 5 of the 10 highest-rated games this year have been Warriors games. They're like a 500 team, and yet people want to watch them because that is the, you know, hashtag Steph better. Like, that's the power of Steph. You would think, though, that with them being one of the most popular teams in the league and having one of the most popular players, that Steph would get – I don't want to be like a Rockets fan, but that you would think that Steph would get a legitimate whistle call at all. Steph shot one free throw tonight. Steph had fouls called on him. He in the total two games, he had 7 total fouls across the two games. The rest of the Pelicans starters combined had 8 over two games. What is the deal with the refs and the whistle that the Warriors and Steph as a whole gets? It's really infuriating, and I feel like it cost them a game tonight. I don't know. It's easy to blame Steph, but when you got nobody else around you making shots and you have 35 through three quarters or 37 through three quarters, something's got to give.
Rack 'em. Appreciate it, Mikus. That's good. Now, I'm going full Jim Rome here. Just going to – for any of you who've listened.
You're old school.
Andy, your thoughts on Steph not getting calls.
By the way, back-to-back, great calls, Larry and Mike. I think the way that Steph plays, it's just – he's not – when he tries to get foul calls, it just doesn't look realistic. Like, you watch Eric Bledsoe tonight, and it's so bad. But he makes a part of his game, right? Like, he makes the – going under the arm part of his game. Which Steph, when he does it, it's almost like, he's kind of trying too hard. And which I really like, because I don't like watching Eric Bledsoe play basketball. I don't like watching James Harden play basketball. Nobody likes watching those guys play basketball. So there's a measure of, like, I take solace in the fact that Steph kind of sucks at flopping. So I think that's part of it. I don't really know how else to explain it, though, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, refs generally award more like fast twitch athletic motions, and Steph's a little more kind of hesitation, that type of stuff. With that said, he should probably get more calls, but that's not really – I'll worry about that stuff when they're in a tight game in the conference finals. Tonight was more about just lacking bodies to me. So, all right, we can keep moving. Uh-oh. I'm going to have a problem child coming up. Luke, what is up, my man?
How you going, boys? You all right?
I'm pretty good for a Tuesday night.
I think I'm a problem child. I just think I'm just getting a bit fucking annoyed. That's all. Is that okay?
It's always acceptable. You can say whatever you want here.
Am I too fucking pessimistic, or back to the Rockets game when we were losing by like 20? And I was just like, how is it? Like, even though we won, how is this getting any better? Is this guy taking the fucking piss? Like, you know, like we're getting a Bob Fitzgerald. Like, I'm not over there, so I don't listen to the guy every fucking time. But he's going, need that third scorer. And then Kerr gets on a press conference afterwards and goes, oh, I'll have a chat to fucking Bob about it, getting another player in. We've got 4 or 5 unplayable blokes on this team. And we're talking about playoffs. Like, I know what you just said before when you open the pod, Sam, but what's the fucking point of the playoffs if we're just going to be going, oh, I need the third scorer, need the second scorer. Like, what's going on here? Like, what are we doing? Like, JTA is going to be our second most behind Draymond Green. JTA is going to be our third most important player in a fucking playoff series. Like, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what's the story? I don't understand what our achievements, what our goal is, what the story is. And I agree with Dave and I agree with Larry, like all those guys saying, like, you know, Steph deserves better, and 100% he does. But if this was the plan all the fucking long, how is that a thought out good plan? What the story is here? Like, we're struggling against like really bad fucking teams.
Yeah.
Like,
lost to Minnesota. Like,
I don't get what the plan is here. What's our end game? Like, I know Sam, you want to say playoffs, and I know Andy, you like you've just accepted. Oh well, we're just fucking cooked. That's cool. But am I just getting too upset? At, like, should I not be as invested in this as other? Like, I don't know how other people feel, but
I think they feel okay. So Luke, let me answer that. The team would say they just want to see what they have this year, and then in the off season they will fix it going into next year. Which is conceptually it makes sense, but like when you look at every move they make in the margins, have they actually added anything that you want to take to next year? Like James Wiseman is still as much of a project today as he was at the beginning of the year, and he will be next year, unfortunately, with his knee injury. Juan Toscano-Anderson is a find, and he's going to be a helpful player to them, but like other than that, like, this entire roster is take it or leave it guys you can find on the wire every summer. Like,
I agree.
I kind of think like you guys are a little hard on Kent Bazemore, but you can find a player like Kent Bazemore every summer. He's quintessential rotation wing who's available every summer. So they spent this whole year. I don't think they've actually added or developed anything that matters going into next year. And that is the
100%. Like, What the fuck's like? I want to throw some names here. What's Amari Spellman and Glenn Rock? They just sitting scratching their balls at home. Could they have not helped tonight? Someone like this going, Fitzgerald going, oh, we need a third scorer. Imagine Amari Spellman just sitting on the fucking 3-point line, wide open, going, give me the ball, just give me the ball. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I know he might not be a good player, but like, I'm not a cap expert, so I probably need you guys and Dave and all that. But like, Is there not something we can just add, like, literally a month ago or a month before going, okay, what are we doing here? Because I'm with you, Sam. I don't know why other people would look at our franchise and go, yeah, they got their head screwed on right, when you've got our head coach going, oh, yeah, that's not what this season's about. You know what I mean? Like, is this a fucking joke?
Like, I couldn't even finish the sentence. I mean, Glenn Robinson's out there. You know what I mean? Like I think Sam's point is dead on though. Look, it's look, you get Steph, Draymond, Clay, Wiggins, Wiseman. That's five. Then you got Poole and JTA. Everyone else can go. And out of those seven guys, you could tell me Wiseman and Poole and JTA are not in the rotation in a series, and I wouldn't even be mad at you. So now we're talking about four players, right? That are actually NBA caliber. They should play every single night. Everyone else can go. And that's the crazy part. Like, all this project, all this stuff, that cute stories. I saw some Michael Mulder stories start seeing that. Doesn't matter. You can find Michael Mulder walking down downtown SF. Right? Like, that's the crazy part is that whatever they tried to do this season, you could do any single time. But also, I flip it back the other way, though, Luke. If you can do that any offseason, they should have the ability to improve and sign those guys this offseason, right? Like, they should be able to find 2, 3, 4 NBA players, rotational NBA players next season. And hopefully that will have this team a lot better than they are today.
Yeah, I agree, man. But I'm just more thinking from it's almost like everyone takes victory laps over, like, the win over the Rockets and the Pelicans. That's fine. I get that. But to quote the great man again for the 50th fucking time, that's not what this season's about. And all I've seen so far is another reset now for next year that we have no idea. Like we said on the other pods a couple of days ago, unless something major happens with one of these big boys and someone goes, oh, you know, I want to change my situation, I have no idea. And I don't think you guys either know what the clear-cut plan is. And I know Joey loves the fucking TV and he wants to be on First Take at the start of the season, bloody, you know, pressing his chest. But I think now it's time for him to do an exclusive talking about, okay, guys, here's the fucking plan. What are we doing? That's what do you guys agree. Like, he's been way too fucking silent for mine since the start of the year. Like, it was all good to pump your chest out when Steph was, you know, going good. But, Joey, mate, it's your team. It's your cash. Why are you paying all this luxury tax to watch fucking, no disrespect to Michael Mullen, all these guys shooting threes in critical situations here? Critical situations. And Steph's going, oh, I've got four blokes on me. I've got to fucking pass the ball. Sorry I've hogged all your time, guys. I appreciate it. I'm just so pissed off and annoyed about this whole fucking thing.
Luke, we appreciate you as always. Cheers, you have boys. A good night or good morning. Huh. All right, Luke. Good stuff. Hope he feels better after that, you know? Hey, here for the people.
Hey, what's going on?
We are here.
What's up, man? I had a more tactical question. We have this back-to-back coming up against Utah and Phoenix. I was wondering what you guys would think about maybe resting Steph and Draymond for one of those games, probably the Phoenix game, because Utah will maybe be missing Mitchell and Conley at that point. That would give them 3 days off between games and would hopefully put them in a better rest position heading into the play-in.
It's a great question. I feel like it's too early to make those decisions. I think you have to see how the standings shake out before you go into it. Like, I'm a firm believer that something will come up next week that can potentially get you rest. But like, reality is they didn't chase wins all year. You can't just plan rest now. You kind of have to play the whole schedule. And if everything breaks in a way in which you can throw a game away because other teams made mistakes, then you do it. But until then, you kind of have to just kind of ride the schedule out and play who's in front.
I'm with you. I also think that's a great point that he made, though. I think they actually do end up resting him for one of those games.
Jackson, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Fucking hell. I need to go smoke a cigarette with Luke. I'm pissed off.
I'm joining you.
Dude, my thing is, I just think it needs to be, I think the national media does not talk about it enough. There's even a sect of Warriors fans that don't. Is that the Warriors front office and organization is truly just terrible. It is truly failing. I really think they think they're the Spurs for some reason because they think they're light years. But what was really light years is Steph's shooting ability, Draymond's unique, versatile skill set on defense. And then at the time, it was Kerr's motion offense to maximize all that. It was not the front office. It was not anything they did. I think it was directly tied to those three players. And now they think that they can just develop and stay contending, but I think they're way too conservative. Like, you look at the Cavs back when they had LeBron, they didn't even fucking think about developing Andrew Wiggins. They traded him immediately for Kevin Love. The Lakers, no, they're not like pissing around with their young guys. They said, no, we're going to get Anthony Davis. Even the Nets, they said, no, we're going to go get James Harden. Jared Allen, you're nice. Like, you're cool. It was fun, but like, we're trying to win now. Like, and the Warriors are too enamored with their little pet projects, like Wiseman and, I mean, even like fucking Kelly Oubre. Like that's the one thing, is they think they're the Spurs in the sense of developing. But the Spurs, if people remember, were actually, in order to sustain their run, they went and traded their best young player at the time, which is George Hill. People don't think of that now because George Hill's kind of been a journeyman. But he was a very nice young player at the time. And they traded him to move up to get Kawhi. And it worked out perfectly for them. So they had to be aggressive to make that happen. They picked up Boris Diaw, and they were aggressive on the buyout market. Okay, where's the Warriors guy off the buyout market for that? Also, they had to reinvent themselves. Okay, they ditched the old post-up stuff. Duncan got in better shape and got healthy and was pick and roll with Tony Parker, who was in his prime, and Monta Ginobili. Okay, where's the Warriors adapting? Where's that happening? It's not. Draymond's declining, and they're running the same freaking calculus offense for guys that are just doing long division. Like, and then, so they're just like missing the point. I think they're too enamored with all the Jordan Pools and the Kelly Oubres and the Wisemans. Like, Wiseman should never be on this team. There's no reason why. And it's not even his fault. He is a good guy. He's I'm sure he's going to be a good player, but it just does not make sense with this timeline, and they're completely wasting Steph's prime. And everyone's already touched on all this all night, but I'm just ranting anyway. Sorry.
Appreciate it, Jackson.
That's what I'm talking about.
Rack him.
Ooh.
We keep moving.
Tomorrow, Sam. Yeah, post
hey,
that
Sam.
One on audio.
We need can
one.
You guys hear
Fair
me?
Josh, what's up, man? We can hear you.
Yeah, I just joined, so I don't know if this point has been brought up, but we are down to just Looney, the big man spot, and Draymond, obviously. So should we? I mean, they already have two empty roster spots. So I think Thornmaker is available on the market. So because if Looney goes down now, then we just have nobody. So because Draymond can't play 48 minutes at the five. So like, what do you guys think about? Do you think they will move for somebody, or this they'll just put their hands up like they've done before and say that we can't do anything and just wait for Cleo to come back? Thanks.
Paratosh, we appreciate you.
I mean, they should do something, but Andy, what do you think they're going to do?
Is that a Thornmaker? Thornmaker?
Yes, this, we've reached the Thornmaker portion of the Holy episode where shit. This is who we need to sign. But I mean, the point stands. The point stands.
Yeah,
I think they should have done this weeks ago, if not months ago, right? Like the moment that Marquise Chris, he went down, you know, you can't see that coming, but then he went down and you saw that you couldn't get reliable minutes from James Wiseman. Like what were you supposed to do, right? I think there were a lot of smart people. Feltbot was talking about this in the beginning of the season. You can't rely on these bigs right now. Looney's not going to stay healthy. Draymond can't play the five all game, right? This should have been done months ago. So
I mean, they need bodies.
Not even bigs. Yeah, you're right. Wings, fours, threes, two, ones. Anyone? A coach.
All right, we keep moving. Nick, what is up, my man? Hey, Nick, you there?
Oh yeah, I am. My bad.
No worries.
Oh yeah. Caught the game tonight. I'm upset. obviously, you know, I have a close relationship with this franchise. I don't understand what they're doing. And I've had conversations with Dre, and he's like, sometimes I don't understand what we're doing. I prefer that they put out a roster that's presentable, field NBA players and not fringe NBA players, European players, G Leaguers. I just don't know what's going on with that team. They're spending a ton of money. They're in the luxury tax. That's not going to change. They don't look like they want to win, but they also don't look like they want to tank. What is the goal here? Is my question. I don't understand. Like, do you guys know? I mean, you guys cover these guys every night.
I'm with you here. I feel like if I was to like read the tea leaves, they just want to ride the season out and, you know, next summer figure out, you know, kind of the roster. But yeah, like that doesn't help the players in the meantime. Like, that doesn't help Steph Curry and Draymond Green, who are busting their ass every night. And like, if I'm those players, I'm a little pissed off that they're, you know, they can't even sign some guys to help in the short term, because it's, you know, it's not Bob Myers. It's not like Kirk and Kent Lakeham's body who are on the line right now. That's where it's frustrating, but it's like very clear their plan is we just want to ride the season out and figure it out next season, which is pretty anti-player.
It's super anti-player, but it's also it's counterintuitive, because this notion that Clay comes back and he fixes everything is delusions of grandeur. Like, it's not going to work like that. Like, we don't know what version of Clay will get back. I hope that it is the same Clay Thompson. Obviously, it'll be a little different. He'll have to sit out back to backs more than likely. He's coming off two major injuries. And I love Clay. He's a great guy. You know what I mean? I only wish the best for Clay, because basketball, like, Clay is what everybody thinks every other NBA player is. He is that guy who just eats, breathes, and shit basketball all the time. Like, that's who Clay is. So I like Clay, and I think that, you know, he'll come back and he'll solve a lot of their problems, but they're still not instantly title contenders. And I think that they're operating under the premise that they would be. And that's where I have issues with what's going on.
I actually think they're trying to sell that because they don't want, if I have a criticism, I think they think like, you know, how, like the Boston Celtics had all those draft picks and they tried to like play like chess and poker with everyone. Like, oh, we're not trading them for, you know, PG or Anthony Davis or all this sort of stuff. I feel like that's what the Warriors are trying to do, where they're all like, oh, we'll be fine when Clay comes back. But with that said, like, I just don't know who they're, I just don't know who they're lying to at this point. Like, I don't know who's buying it, I guess.
Well, I think part of it's going to be Steph and Draymond are going to have to say something in the offseason. Like, you see every offseason, the report comes out that Damian Lillard is either supposed to say something or say something. Who knows, right? Whether it's true or not. But every offseason, you hear the same stuff. We've never heard that from looking in, right? Or Draymond, these guys. And I think at this point, maybe that's what it's going to take, because I don't know if it's up to the front office, they're probably not moving Wiseman or the Minnesota pick. They think that their goal is
they need to feel a lot of fire under their asses.
They need, like, they don't, like, we're going to own this org forever. But Steph and Dre are like, look, we got a prime. We got to win.
If they don't move this mini pick this offseason, I truly believe like it's over. Like, it's over. Like, yeah. They have to move that mini pick. Yeah. It has a ton of value on the open market, but internally the value, it diminishes greatly. They don't have time to develop a player. And there's a couple NBA ready players that'll come in this draft, but they won't be there at four, as high as they can go, right? It's what, top three protected?
Yep. Four.
Right.
Yeah.
They won't be there at four. So it's like, I mean, if they don't move that pick this offseason, I give up on the franchise. I'll holler at you guys in another 25 years. I'm giving up on the franchise. Like, absolutely. I'm giving up on the franchise. Like, honestly, I'm telling you, I'm giving up on the franchise.
Yeah. It's getting depressing here, but I'm with you. They, like,
and one of my best plays for this team, I'm giving up on the franchise. I'll never go to another Warriors game again.
What about why? How about Wiseman? Do you think he's someone that the Warriors should be looking to move? I asked that with
Look,
a straight
face. I like James. And I think James will be a great player. But I'm going to tell you, there's two alarming issues with James for me. One, he can't fucking catch, which is the issue. When you're a big man and you don't have nice hands. Two, he has no clue what's going on defense. Like, he's oblivious. Like, he just doesn't know what's going on. Like, and he's 19, and he's like, yeah, every bit of, I met James, he's every bit of 19. Like, when you meet a 19-year-old, you're like, yo, you're 19. Like, he's 19. Like, he's not like a 19-year-old, acts like he's like 25 or a little more mature. He's 19. Like, he's fucking 19, man. Like, no.
This is why LeBron doesn't put up with kids, because it's like, you know, Steph's 33, Draymond's 31. Dude, I'm in my 30s. You try to make me work with a teenager, I might, you know, like, it's, exactly. Let's just say Draymond and Steph are a lot more patient than I would be.
Right? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's their appearance. That's their outward appearance. But internally, man, Steph's blood is boiling. And I can't even say with Draymond, because, like, I know what he thinks. Because he's told me. But, like, yo, Steph's blood has to be boiling right now. Like, he's playing out of his mind. He's averaging, what, 32 on 48, 90, 43 or some ridiculous splits.
Right.
And he doesn't have anybody on that team he can count on a nightly basis to give him 20. This is sad, man. I've never seen a superstar go out like this. Like, on that level, Steph is an extraordinary talent. Like, maybe some of Kobe's prime years, I'll take that back. Some of Kobe's prime years, he had pieces of shit around him too. So, I understand.
Shout out Smush Parker.
Shout out the fucking Smush Parker. Kobe, man, who the fuck am I supposed to pass the ball to? Smush Parker?
Kobe was one of a kind.
One of a kind. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you guys pulling me up, man.
Nick, I appreciate you always. Have a good night.
Thanks, Nicholas. Thank you, man. I that hurt, you know, from that's a lot to kind of hear.
But is it reassuring, Sam, though, a little bit at the same time, knowing that, hey, some of these guys, they look like they're patient, you know, on the outside, right? Because they're not assholes, right? They're not complaining to the media all day long and leaking stuff and saying all this. They're going to come out here and they're going to be kind of the quote-unquote good soldier or whatever.
Sometimes I feel like we make this over I feel like we make this overcomplicated. Like, do you not think Steph Curry and Draymond Green are the two most competitive humans, you know? Like, do you think they're cool with this? I know you can log on to Twitter and people are like, well, look at his contract. It's like, you don't get to this level if it's just about the money. And by the way, if it's just about the money, all these guys can retire and be very set for the rest of their life. Like, I don't know. I don't think you need anyone to tell you how frustrated Steph or Draymond are. Like, if you've watched them play in games that matter, you should know how competitive they are. All right, keep moving. Aaron, what's up, my man?
What's up, Aaron?
Aaron, you there?
He's drinking. That's what he's doing.
Boys, I'm not going to take up much of your time, but first of all, this Chris Mims slander will not be tolerated. We're not just going to run around and talk about it.
Chris Mims ahead of his time. Chris Mims might get eight figures in today's NBA. Someone's going to just lie to themselves that they can teach him to defend because he can shoot. Let's be real.
Okay, so here's the quick question. You guys have been kicking around. I've been listening to the show. You guys have been kicking around a bunch. A couple more players on this roster makes them just NBA guys, general NBA guys. And I agree with that. And you say, okay, that's the plan for this offseason. You just see what you have this offseason. What is the evidence that these guys know what they're doing and are going to have any chance at acquiring any of those guys?
I mean, all right, we're going another 2 hours. Aaron, appreciate the question. Okay, what is the evidence that the Warriors know what they're doing with finding those guys? I would say when they've had to, they have been able to find NBA players. But the real question is, have we ever seen this front office have to act with urgency, Andy? Like, because they built the title team when they were young and there was no urgency there. You know, and then they get KD and then they become the greatest team of all time. And then KD leaves and then everything kind of is like, well, we'll just take our time. We've never seen this front office function in a fashion where it's like, you know, if we don't do something this summer, Steph's walking next summer. Like, they've never felt the LeBron fire where it's like, no, you have like 2 weeks to figure this out. Otherwise, I'm leaving in the offseason. And that is where it's.
Yeah, I think, did you say curious? Is that what you said at the end there?
I did. I don't know if I know what that word means, but yes.
No. I agree with you saying that because I don't know if it's a bad thing just because we don't know if – like we just don't know, right? It could be bad. It could be good. Trey Lance could be bad. Could be good. By the way, Nick coming on and saying that James Wiseman is all of 19 cracks me up. Because one of the reasons why they drafted Trey Lance was that he has a CEO personality, so he acts like he's 25. Which I thought it was pretty funny. Juxtaposition of two different franchises. But I think it could be bad. It could be good. I will say, and I tossed this out in a premium podcast, Light Years Premium podcast today. You guys can go ahead and subscribe for that. Is that this team under pressure did make some good moves. They made the KD move for D'Lo and then, you know, kind of under pressure there. And that move resulted in the Minnesota and Wiggins, right? Minnesota pick and Andrew Wiggins. So not bad. I guess they kind of lost the first round pick by having to move Iguodala, but all in all, kind of a net positive, right? So that's kind of, I think, the last time they had to make a move under.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what makes it, I guess, curious. We're going to have to see where this all lands. So, you know, it is what it is. Like, we can be pessimistic. It's fair to be pessimistic, but we don't know where it's going to all land. All right, we can keep moving. Jamil, what is
it? Hello. I'm not really frustrated, but I have some concerns. People say like, we're playing eight guys. The problem is it's not a problem that we're playing eight guys. The problem is the players we're playing. Bazemore is literally the the lowest IQ player ever. Did you see him try to post up who was it? Was it Brandon Ingram? And Like, dude, what are you doing? Also, like, I want to ask a question. Who are the players on this team are you keeping for next year?
Jamil, just thanks for calling in, bro. I can never tell if Jamil is just too high or he's just having too much fun.
It's not relevant, but yeah, okay. So who are the players we want to keep for next year?
Who can, like, for me, it's like you said, right? Like, anybody outside of those four guys, you know, Steph, Dre, Wiggins, and Clay, and then everybody else can go. Or everybody, like, I throw JT in there because I don't think you're paying him that, like, they're not going to have to pay him that much money, and he's really good. But outside of that, like, you can find a Bazemore. You can, honestly, you can find 70% of an Oubre. You can find a veteran center. You can just bring back GR3 if you so choose. Like, any of those guys are just as good. Like, Smiley and Nico are bargain bin guys. Like, they could be playing with me at UCSF on Wednesdays. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Do you think you can give Smiley a bucket?
No fucking chance.
No chance.
I just want to see how cocky you feel right now. That's all.
No, absolutely not. That guy would average 50. All right, let's keep moving. Ricky, what's up, man?
All right, I'm not sure if you caught what Steve Kerr said post game. Something about, you know, how he'll discuss with Bob Myers if they'll talk about, you know, when they get back, if they'll add any more players. And then Steph, you know, Slater followed up and asked him, you know, what he thought about adding an extra player. And Steph says, you know, if it makes sense and can help us, absolutely. So I don't know, like, is it a bit of a concern that, you know, maybe Steph isn't, like, I don't know how to quite word this, but, like, you know, maybe not being, like, using that leverage to, like, maybe get some people to help them, you know, kind of lighten the burden on the on playing eight guys every single night?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is, when will Steph show that power, right? Like, Ricky, by the way, we appreciate you. It's he's a patient guy. He's not going to freak out over the first, like, weird move that a front office makes, but the question is when he's going to, right, Andy?
He's not just going to say, I don't know. I feel like he's not someone just to make demands kind of for no reason. He's almost too pragmatic, doesn't it feel like that? But it's long past due, though, this offseason. I think he's kind of looking at it. Hey, I'm not the GM. I'm not the owner. I'm not the one that has to figure out who we have to get. I can do my best to help try to recruit, but you guys got to figure something out here. I think it's fair. Maybe there isn't a move out there. Maybe that's what they're telling him, but that doesn't mean you don't try.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we can keep moving. John McWalter. Oh, what's up, man?
What up, guys? Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, I think it's been a theme all season that the roster is just garbage. But, you know, look up. Smiley isn't guaranteed. I know people don't believe me when I say this, but he's not guaranteed next year. He doesn't even have a buyout. If we cut him before the 4th of July, we're good. His thing ends on the 6th. You know, like, there's spots on the roster. Mulder's also not guaranteed. Well, you might have to add, like, $100K to buy him out. But, like, we have a long time there. But he can be replaced with Jessup, right? Like, the roster has some vet mins we can fill in. But, you know, I'm worried about the front office. I mean, but then in another sense, maybe we don't worry. We had someone who's very successful with New York this year, Alex Burks. Oh, he's not on our team anymore. We had another person who's in rotation on Dallas. Oh, yeah, that's Willie Cauley-Stein. Oh, wait, we had another guy who's also on Dallas, Hardaway Jr. here, right? You know, like, or not, Quinn Robinson III, sorry, wrong one, on our roster. And all those type of players would have helped this year, right? It would have really made a difference on the bench. But instead, we're playing these games with guys like Smilogix, who's our project. And you can't. We have too many projects on the team. Pascal, project. Smilogix, project. You know, Mannion, project. Wiseman, project. You can't, next year's first round pick, project. If we keep our 20th area, 19th, 18th pick, project. That's six projects. At least it's like nine players to play with next year. That's ridiculous. So they're going to have to do something to fix it.
I mean, the front office is clearly trying to make Steve Kerr own his salary with all these projects. No other way around it. You're right, though. Like, I want to get out of here on this, John. We're all saying the same thing. they need to come with a more adult roster next year. You can have James Wiseman and Jordan Poole as like guys you want to develop and compete at the same time. You can't just be like Steph, Draymond, and a bunch of dudes and expect to do anything of value.
Give Steph a fucking adult roster.
Yes, we're ending it that way, John. By the way, we really appreciate you calling. Bring us an adult roster next year, Bob Myers. We're ending this now. We appreciate everyone who's listening. Hot up in the morning.